Ladies and gentlemen, the Secretary General and the Foreign Minister will each make brief opening statements, and we'll be happy to take your questions. Secretary General, please.
Good afternoon. This time I have the great pleasure to address you together with Minister Taraschuk at the end of, I think, what was a very important meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission. As you know, NATO's relations with Ukraine have entered a new phase. The new government in Kyiv has demonstrated clearly its commitment to democratic values, the basis for NATO. We share those. And President Yushchenko and Foreign Minister Taraschuk have also made clear their intention to bring Ukraine closer to NATO, a goal NATO shares as well. You'll remember that in February, alliance leaders had a chance to hear a first-hand account of President Yushchenko's reform plans, and today's informal meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission provided an important opportunity to give new impetus, new energy, and new substance to our relationship. At today's meeting, the NATO member states and Ukraine reaffirmed the strategic importance of their distinctive partnership for security and stability throughout the Euro-Atlantic area. NATO supports the efforts of the Ukrainian authorities to strengthen democratic institutions, encourage respect for shared Euro-Atlantic values, and accomplish wide-reaching reforms throughout the defense and security sectors. In light of recent events, which demonstrated Ukraine's commitment to such values, NATO and its member states will focus their ongoing activities in support of these efforts. Now, existing NATO-Ukraine mechanisms, including the Charter on a Distinctive Partnership between NATO and Ukraine, offer significant scope for such support, and foreign ministers have agreed today a series of concrete, immediate measures. And these measures, to be implemented in the framework of the NATO-Ukraine Action Plan, are intended to supplement and enhance the existing practical cooperation and political dialogue in order to achieve the maximum impact in support of reform goals. And I understand that that package of measures has been or is being distributed to you. Foreign Ministers also recalled the declaration by NATO heads of state and government of the 22nd of February this year, 2005, congratulating the people of Ukraine on their commitment to democracy and the rule of law and pledging continued support. They welcomed the aspirations of the Ukrainian people, as outlined by the President, President Yushchenko, to build a democratic and prosperous Ukraine and to strengthen their integration into the Euro-Atlantic community. NATO's door, as we all know and you know, will remain open to European democracies, willing and able to assume the responsibilities and obligations of membership in accordance with Article 10 of the Washington Treaty. Ukraine's aspiration to integrate fully into Euro-Atlantic security structures carries with it a commitment to the very highest standards of conduct and values of the alliance and of the distinctive partnership between NATO and Ukraine. Foreign ministers agreed that the achievement of these standards would significantly improve the lives of all of Ukraine's citizens and bring Ukraine and the region to greater stability and security. NATO has invited Ukraine to begin building on the existing framework, a so-called intensified dialogue on Ukraine's aspirations to membership and relevant reforms, without prejudice to any eventual alliance decision. The further intensification of the NATO-Ukraine relationship will continue to be based on Ukraine's performance in the implementation of reform objectives, a process which NATO will assess regularly and stands ready to assist. As was discussed just a moment ago in the meeting, it is crystal clear that the Ukrainian government, including Minister Taraschuk, my friend Boris, will be at the wheel of that car. They'll drive that car. NATO is a performance-based organization. But there will be NATO petrol stations along that road to refuel that car so that NATO can assist and help wherever needed or wherever possible to realize Ukraine's aspirations. In other words, say it in more diplomatic speak, the further intensification of the NATO-Ukraine relationship will continue to be based on Ukraine's performance in the implementation of its own reform objectives. And NATO will assist that process, of course, on a regular basis, and NATO, as I said, stands ready to assist. Now, I already told you, if you're interested, please read a short paper outlining what these concrete cooperative measures I spoke about and we have developed, what they are. We have developed them over the past weeks, and I hope you'll have, or you will get a copy from the Media Center. We, as I said, developed this package together, and we will work together on its implementation. Because the pace at which any partner comes closer to NATO is based on performance in respecting NATO standards and values. And these standards are rigorous, but as Minister Taraschuk heard today, NATO and its member states stand ready to do what they can. We'll stand ready to do what we can to help Ukraine achieve them. Finally, I would say last but certainly not least, let me thank Minister Taraschuk for the exchange of letters on Ukrainian support to Operation Active Endeavour, the, as you know, naval operation in the Mediterranean Sea, anti-terrorist operation based on Article 5 of the Washington Treaty. We signed letters today for confirming Ukraine's support to that operation. It's another example of the very active role Ukraine, of course, is playing and has been playing in giving support to NATO operations, and Active Endeavour is not the only example, but we signed a letter on Active Endeavour this morning. Well, this is where I'll stop, and this is where I would ask Minister Taraschuk to take the floor and say what he has to say. Boris, please.
Thank you, Jaap. Good afternoon, dear friends. First of all, I would like to say to you something very important. We did it together with NATO, Ukraine and NATO. We have transformed our relationship in a new stage that is intensified dialogue on membership issues. Without any exaggeration, today's NATO-Ukraine ministerial meeting was a new chapter in our strategic relationship, the relationship between Ukraine and NATO. And without any exaggeration, this was a success, I mean, today's meeting. During this meeting, I acquainted my colleagues from NATO countries about major steps Ukraine made recently in the direction of NATO. Among those steps, number one, Ukrainian president has endorsed and approved the annual target plan for this year. And from now on, it will be officially inaugurated. Number two, Ukrainian president has instructed me to sign the exchange letters on Ukraine joining anti-terrorist NATO operation in Mediterranean Active Endeavour. Number three, President Yushchenko has reinstated NATO and EU membership into a military doctrine of Ukraine, which were removed by President Kuchma last summer. And number four, President Yushchenko has announced about the finalization of a new mechanism of cooperation, national mechanism of cooperation between Ukraine and NATO. These are just a few examples of very concrete steps Ukraine is doing instead of just declaring as it used to be the case in the past. With the exchange of our views, I acquainted my colleagues from NATO countries about the concrete steps Ukraine is taking in order to contribute to greater stability and security, not only in Europe but the world over, about our contribution in these operations in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Balkans, we acquainted our partners about Ukraine's contribution and immediate plans for the Transnistria settlement. Tomorrow, President Yushchenko is going to announce and outline his vision of Transnistria settlement, and it will be done at Guam summit in Chisinau. I would like to say that I was especially pleased to hear the full support of our colleagues from the Alliance to Ukraine's efforts and to Ukraine's reforms. Especially, I express the gratitude for the efforts made by allies concerning the Peace Trust Fund for the elimination of small arms and weapons. And this is a very concrete assistance the allies are going to provide to Ukraine. Also, I would like to say that if before the membership in the alliance was a self-stated goal by Ukraine, from now on, this is our joint project with the alliance. I would like to remind you that Ukraine is not a consumer but a contributor to the stability and security in the continent. And we will use our right for the driver's seat to drive our car cautiously but decisively for the set goal. And to finish with, I would like to say that during the Orange Revolution, there was a very popular saying, one cannot stop the freedom. So paraphrasing it, I would like to assure you that one cannot stop the movement of Ukraine. I thank you very much.
Can we have time for a few questions?
Paul Ames from the Associated Press. My question is for Minister Tarashuk. NATO has spelled out a lot of reforms which Ukraine has to do in order to get ready for membership. Can you give us an estimate how long you think it will take Ukraine to carry out those reforms and get itself into that position where it can join the alliance?
And the end of the phrase. I haven't heard.
How long do you think it will take Ukraine to carry through the reforms necessary to get ready for NATO membership?
Well, I would like to begin saying that Ukraine is not beginning this new stage in our relationship with NATO from a zero point. We have accumulated a rather valuable experience in cooperation through different mechanisms of cooperation, be it Partnership for Peace, individual partnership programs, the Charter on a Distinctive Partnership between Ukraine and NATO, and Plan of Action and annual target plans. So all this contributed to accumulating the experience for us in Ukraine in cooperating with NATO and moving us towards interoperability between Ukrainian armed forces and the armed forces of the allies. I think that one should not speak in a very concrete terms about the implementing our reforms. So our major objective is to make the life of Ukrainian citizens better. To help them to fill the spirit of democracy and freedom, the spirit of prosperity. This is our major objective. And this major objective coincides with the major fundamental values and standards NATO is based on. So judging on this, I dare to say that Ukraine may be ready to fulfill this ambitious program of reforms in, let us say, 3 years' term. So by the year 2008.
Please go ahead.
Вопрос господину министру. Международный проект Вайда-Юрап. Господин министр, вы упомянули об оранжевой революции в Украине. Как известно, накануне вашего прибытия в Вильнюс белорусский президент назвал эту и другие, как он выразился, разноцветные революции бандитизмом, цитирую, который осуществляется при поддержке внешних сил. Скажите, пожалуйста, вы как-то прогнозируете обострение двусторонних отношений между Киевом и Минском в связи с вашей активизацией в сторону НАТО? Спасибо.
May I say that I have no,
I can repeat.
No translation at all, and my languages are not too bad, but they do not include all languages. So, could I either have translation for the? I know that I understood it was directed to Minister Tarasuk, but nevertheless, I'm very keen to hear the question, of course. So could you please try again so that I can check if I can get some form of translation? Thank you.
The interpreter apparently is not here.
The interpreter is not here.
The question
was about Belarusian President Lukashenko saying that the Orange Revolution and all other colored revolutions actually are bandits.
The interpreter is here.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Well, first of all, I would like to say that one should distinguish between Ukraine-NATO track and Ukraine-Belarus relationship. So these are absolutely different tracks. So there is no connection, none of those tracks are, you know, intersecting. The assessment made concerning Ukrainian Orange Revolution, it was seen by the whole world that this was the non-violent protest made by the people of Ukraine, who decided that they are not going to tolerate the disregard of their political will, that they are going to defend their freedom to choose the leader of their choice. So one cannot refer to this expression of people's will as a banditism. So I don't want to comment further on this regard. But at the same time, I would like to say that the international community, through its Human Rights Commission, United Nations Human Rights Commission, has clearly assessed expressed its concern over the situation with democracy and human rights in Belarus. I recently was in Minsk, and I had a meeting with my colleague, Foreign Minister Martinov. We had together the foreign ministers of CIS with President Lukashenko. And I don't have any feeling that the Ukraine's position on NATO, Ukraine's position on promoting and supporting democracy and human rights world over, reminding the countries of their commitments and their obligations under international instruments, will be an obstacle on the development of our bilateral relationship. At least I don't see any danger in this.
From the Romanian media, a question for the Secretary General. If NATO can stimulate in any way the withdrawal of the Russian troops from Transnistria Separatist Republic region, and a letter for question for the Foreign Minister, if this plan that Ukraine has for the Transnistria Separatist region involves also Romania and Moldova. Thank you.
As you know, NATO is not directly involved as far as Moldova Transnistria is concerned. I've been dealing with the matter, but that was in the previous incarnation as chairman in office of the OSCE. You know, there are other parties involved. Minister Tarasuk just announced the meeting of the Guam in Chisinau tomorrow. I think.
Tomorrow.
Where we might see new initiatives. NATO does not play a direct role, but Of course, it is also the opinion of the Allies that a solution will have to be found, first of all because the still present ammunition in Transnistria is part of the Istanbul commitments of the Russian Federation. And for the rest, NATO will support but not actively participate in any political initiative which might bring the Moldovan-Transnistrian problem closer to a solution. And as we know, Ukraine can play and plays an important role in this, be it only because of the problems around the border between Ukraine and secessionist Transnistria.
Thank you. Let me follow on this first question about Russian troops in Transnistria. Immediately after this press conference, I will have a meeting with my colleague and friend, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, and I will convey this question to him. As to the Transnistria plan of settlement, which President Yushchenko will disclose some major elements, so it was not, this plan is not about the countries. This plan is about the stages and the mechanism of settlement of Transnistria conflict in order to return Moldova to a unified state within recognized border and to reinstate sovereignty of Moldova throughout the country, to secure greater democracy in Transnistria. We, if one speak hypothetically, sadly, we are in favor of Romania joining the club of those countries and institutions dealing with Transnistria settlement. But officially, as of now, there are five parties which are participating in this settlement officially. These are Moldova, Transnistria, Ukraine, Russia, and OSCE. Ukraine is in favor of joining this club also of the European Union and the United States of America. Sadly, much will depend on the immediate participant to this settlement, that is Chisinau and Transnistria.
Last question, Robert, very short.
Robert Hennerhoff, NRC Handelsblad from the Netherlands, Secretary General. The Foreign Minister just stated that 2008 would be a target year for reforms, for the implementation of the reforms. Does that mean that Ukraine won't become a member of NATO before 2008?
I don't know. Because as I tried to explain, it is indeed Ukraine, and I think we very much agree there at the wheel of the car. I do not know. NATO is, let me repeat, a performance-based organization. Ukraine has embarked upon fundamental reforms. Let's not forget. I see the orange T-shirt. Well, as a Dutchman, I like orange. I know the Ukrainians, they very much like orange.
I have some orange.
And the minister has some orange. Something happened in Ukraine. Something happened. There was a distinctive partnership. There was an action plan. There were target plans. But something happened in Ukraine. And because that something, this incredible orange revolution, we have now embarked upon this intensified dialogue. We have now embarked on, let's say, a new route in our distinctive partnership. But if you ask me for month or weeks or dates, I don't know. But we'll assist and we'll help in any way we can. Let's say the fundamental reform process Ukraine has already embarked upon, and you've heard Minister Tarasuk announcing what President Yushchenko has done and what he's going to do in the Ukrainian administration. So I'm standing here on behalf of the alliance in very positive spirits, but I cannot give days or weeks or months or years. I can't.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for.